Okay, thank you. Jim, you have the floor.
Hi. It is true that I am Jim, and I am the interim general manager of KPFA, operations director of KPFA, and somewhat of a national tech person for Pacifica. I just wanted to, every time I come to Houston, especially now, I guess, I'm reminded of the very first time that I came to Houston as the interim general manager of KPFA in the fall of 99. I was brought into a very small room where there was an executive session of the board meeting. It wasn't the whole board. It wasn't public. And I looked at the faces in front of me, and then I thought to myself, I never thought 20 years ago that I would be here today. It was a tribunal, basically, in some respects. It was a very polite tribunal. They sat me down, and the first question that they asked me, although there were some of the other general managers present there, was, will you enforce the gag rule at KPFA? Of course, they didn't know me as well as I knew them, so I'm prone to understatement at times when I need it most. And my response was, I don't think I can do that. And they said, well, why can't you enforce the gag rule? And I said, I don't think the KPFA staff would do that. And they said, well, do you think maybe you could do that in 2 to 4 weeks? And I said, I don't know. After the that wonderful section of the meeting was over, some people that I would not sit on the couch with later came up and hugged me. All I could think of at that particular point was, there's no place like home. And I wanted to click my heels real bad and get out of there. But what I'm realizing now in coming to a meeting like this and being in the retreat the other day with the board members and the local board members is that we really do have a home in Pacifica wherever we go now. And that's... And we need to keep spreading that message of Pacifica and creating more homes, not only for ourselves, but for all the disenfranchised listeners and communities that are not represented by Pacifica. So I'm very appreciative of the great work that this board will do and the next board after that, and basically how the board is approaching trying to get this thing going in a great way. So thank you. I also wanted to say that in the last few years, because I've had so many jobs, I want to ask you again for your patience, your understanding, and if nothing else, your sympathy. It's certainly at any time it would be overwhelming, but I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, it's been absolutely tripolar. So I really want to seriously say that I don't feel as if I can adequately spend enough time on all my duties to do a good enough job. I always want to do a better job for KPFA and Pacifica in whatever I do. So when I get a chance at a meeting like this to reexamine how I go about approaching things at the station, trying to figure out how I can do better, I think of I did want to address the tension that has existed at KPFA recently between our board and our staff and me. And I do think it's my responsibility as a station manager to figure out ways that I can go about reducing that tension. What can I do to help it so that people are dealing with the issues rather than personalities, and really realizing that most of what's happening in terms of the tension is about frustration of not having the access to the information that you need and being able to communicate in a better way, in a way that has a certain amount of collaboration with it. So it's a no-brainer, but sometimes it takes coming to a meeting like this to realize all you really have to do is structure, at least initially, one of the baby steps you can take is structure some time where people can get access to you. And so I hope that in the next few weeks I'm going to start with our local board of having regular meetings with me as manager where we can share information, where they can, in a relaxed setting where they don't have 5 or 10 minutes with me, talk about issues or about the need for information, and so that we can try to start building the inclusiveness that needs to happen at KPFA with the board and the station. So that's my honor to you that I will do that. And I definitely want to work closer with the local board. Let me talk to you a little bit about KPFA's fund drive, which ended a week ago. We raised our goal, which was $850,000. On the last day, we raised a little over, around $100,000, and so we ended up with $889,777, which is better than one of the fund drives that we did a few months ago that ended in 666. $40,000 over the goal is great. We actually also, for the first time in, with including this drive, the last three drives, the first time we've ended on schedule. The other two drives previous to this, we've had to add 2 days at the end to reach it. Our spring drive is traditionally our hardest drive to raise money, so we usually have a lower goal, and we're very glad that we met it. We do have a transmitter project at KPFA, which is just about complete, but got a little bit off course because of the emergency that needed to be taken care of at KPFK. And so now our project of having a new transmitter online, replacing the one that's 50 years old, will probably happen in the next month or so, which is great. I also wanted to point out to you a little plug for the Grassroots Radio Conference again at the end of June. There's going to be a tech retreat that Pacifica, Ursula Rudenberg, Otis, and myself and others have been working on. Vicky and Marty and Dan and Lonnie and some others were involved in at the end of the NFCB conference in trying to put some thought into what we would do in a retreat. And Teresa, you were there as well, weren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You've been working on it too. So. We're going to have a tech retreat after it's over, and I would encourage all the GMs to send at least one technical person from each of the individual stations to the Grassroots Radio Conference for the conference itself, and to also participate in the tech retreat. This will be the first time in Pacifica's history that we've actually attempted to get some of the technical people in a formal setting together, at least in the 20-plus years that I've been at KPFA. This has never happened before, and it's way, way overdue. We really need to come to grips not only with us as individual stations, but with all the community stations that come to Grassroots about where we go in some sort of unified and together way into the technical future. So that is something that is very important to me, and I hope to the rest of you as well. So I really urge us to get this thing started. Let me talk to you a little bit about our website, which we are also trying to promote more as part of our fundraising by having as much audio as possible for our subscribers, our listeners, and talking about how we're putting things into our website as part of what they get. When they subscribe to KPFA, we put resources into our website. We're now archiving all of our programs on our website, which means that anybody can go in at any time and listen to any program that's on KPFA.
All right. I
also, in reference to what I said earlier about having so many jobs, I do want to just single out Phil Osagueda, and KPFA's development director. Yeah. and assistant manager, and also Eileen Hazel, who is our business manager at KPFA, who is actually leaving in about a week. Without the two of them, I don't think that many of us would be here right now. So they really did a remarkable job in helping me in the last, who knows how many years, but really, really valuable members of Pacifica. And we've been very fortunate at KPFA to have some incredible business managers, Eileen Hazel, and going back to Megan Devlin, Lottie Lieb, three great, incredible business managers who have actually done a lot to, certainly in the last few years with Lonnie. Eileen has helped a lot of the other stations as well as Pacifica in terms of this transition to trying to have balanced books, and has just been great in terms of the way that she's gone about providing narratives for our budget so that people can clearly understand the changes that we make and why we make them and what we're trying to do. So we know that we're going to be able to keep her involved a little bit at the station to make sure that we've got somebody who hopefully will approach her level in terms of the help that she's provided KPFA. But again, with our website, another thing that we really want to do is to create new programs that will initially start on the website itself. Now, this to me is a really important and key item in terms of the access that KPFA provides to programmers who are initially starting out trying to produce a program. When you open up the technology on the web and help people grow a program where they can develop skills that listeners can give them feedback on and where other programmers can get them on, where you also, in a very important way, make sure that you are not separating out new programmers and sending them only to the web. It's really, really important that they understand that if they do a good program, the hope is that it will move over to the other schedule someday. I have to cut soon?
Now, if you can.
Okay. Well, sorry.
Let me wrap up.
I will wrap up. So that's something that we really want to explore. I did want to say a little bit about what is developed at KPFA. You've heard about the apprenticeship program earlier. We have a fellowship program for that apprenticeship program now. So when they graduate, there's a situation where there are jobs available that producer role, associate producer, engineer for a specific programming that involves, it's called Full Circle, that involves the graduate apprentices and different generations of apprentices who have come through KPFA will host the show, as well as, again, keeping some more people at KPFA for a longer period of time. Youth Radio, we've had a partnership with at KPFA just down the street. We actually have, in addition to the graduates from the apprenticeship program, we have three graduates from Youth Radio who are now integral to KPFA. Nora Barrows-Friedman, who works on Flashpoints, Dev Ross, who is our production manager, and Anita Johnson, who is an associate producer for Hard Knock Radio. So we have another tier of access to KPFA and training that's resulted in a very a strong tie to developing youth experience on KPFA. Youth Radio also has three radio shows on our other radio frequency, KPFB, plus one show on KPFA, okay, which they fought for about 10 years to have. Mm-hmm. So this is a great way for providing access, along with what Free Speech Radio News does in terms of training staff that is already at KPFA, in addition to the great programming that they provide, that's also made a significant difference in the way in which people have learned how to do radio at KPFA by having Free Speech Radio News partially in-house. That's another way that KPFA has given access and also provided training to a lot of newer producers and reporters.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much, Jim. This is the first time I've had a chance to speak in this session. Thank you very much, Jim, for your role in defending us in Pacifica history. And thank you very much for the humor. It offers me a little bit of hope for us. I know it's been very stressful, but when you can be humorous, when you can add a little humor, I know that, like, you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Thank you very much for the archiving effort. That's a great initiative. And good luck on your repairs, not only in your transmitter, but also the restaurant situation. I mean, I'd like to maybe see a restaurant there or something there that can pull people in. Do want to say that last time I was in Berkeley, I went into your library, and William Walker was there, and he was very, very gracious to me, and we actually looked up some items in your library and found them, found some Charlie King. You know, we looked up David Lippmann and Prince Mishkins and such, and actually found some good music. And I'm hoping that WBAI has initiated a library project after having dismantled it. I think the concern about the concept of shared resources is very important. My only question I have two little questions. Number one, do you see anything right now from the satellite work? And thank you very much for helping the affiliates with our satellite work and the way we get our programs on the satellite for the affiliates to hear. Do you have any comments about that? And also about First Voices, Kurt Gray, when I was in Berkeley, expressed a concern that there were not any of the KPFA programmers that were mentoring or working with First Voices, that First Voices were all just working with themselves, and I don't know whether you'd call it inbreeding, but maybe it was too exclusive. So I was wondering if you're working with First Voices to have any of the other staff work with those people.
Well, I, again, don't think that because Kurt isn't there every day, he doesn't talk to the programmers involved as much as perhaps he should. But it's hard when you have people who have graduated from the program who now have their own programs that they're producing that invite apprentices in, because then you could say that there's some sort of inbreeding going on when somebody who's a graduate of the program has their own daily show, and they utilize apprentices on their program as well. So there are connections to the news. There are connections up and down the line to every department at KPFA, whether it's apprentices volunteering for a short period of time in drama and literature and finding maybe they want to do something else instead and they don't stay around. But there's a lot of interplay with the staff at KPFA. There's also a lot of teaching that goes on to the program from various different staff members who have specialties. So there's a lot of connections constantly being made between First Voices and other parts of the station. Could it be better? It could be better.
Thank you.
Always.
Carol is next, and I want to ask you, sorry, please, but you must keep your comp. Please keep it brief. We have a lot of stuff still to go through. We haven't heard from Brian, and then we need to take a little break, and then we need to hear from all the LSB chairs. So please, 1 minute. Carol.
First of all, I want to thank Jim Bennett for everything he has done since 1999. I don't believe this network would still be here.
But you should also thank me between 1981 and 1990.
So noted. That's the first thing I want to say. With deep heartfelt gratitude to Jim. Jim, what are you doing about our membership list? And do you have any plans to clean it up, the staff list? What is in progress? And what do you think needs to be done? And what do you think it will cost? And, you know, please.
I actually probably don't know the answer to that as well as Phil might. But I do know that we did recognize some problems after the last election and that we want to address them. We've talked to Les Radke, who was involved as our election supervisor the last time, and there are some discrepancies that we definitely want to take care of some subscribers who didn't get ballots. We don't want that to continue. So I don't know the cost involved.
Alice.
Hi. I wanted to ask you about the fellowship program for the Full Circle. How did you get it? Is it a grant from whom? And how much does the individual get in Pergamon?
The fellowship, the good and bad of it is that the fellowship is provided by a grant. And the bad of it is that it's really hard to get grants for training these days, whether you're, I guess, whether you're talking about California or anywhere else. So it is tenuous. And as such, we can't really include it in our budget for next year until the grant comes through. So that basically right now is where it stands.
What is the foundation, or can you say?
We have one from the San Francisco Foundation and from the Robeson Fund.
Thank
two
you.
Two of them.
Okay.
And
okay.
How much is it, please?
It's about, I think it's around $40,000, $33,000.
How much does the individual apprentice get?
It's basically split between three apprentices.
Three.
Okay, time.
Producer, associate producer, and engineer.
Sorry, Sarv. Quick.
Well, I think most of the things are taken care of, so I'll just pass on to the next.
All right, thank you very much. Sonali.
I'm happy to hear all the talk today about staff benefits and creating comfortable working conditions for workers in our network, but I want to ask Jim Bennett, I understand there's a high turnover of producers for one of your shows. I don't know about all the other shows, but one show, a particular, namely Flashpoints, which has created serious problems among your staff. I know particularly of one staff member who moved his life to the Berkeley area in order to start a job with this program, only to find himself fired on the eve of his parole period, which would have been when he would have had union protection, simply because the host didn't agree with everything he said. What steps have you taken to ensure that this sort of staff abuse doesn't happen?
Okay, again, it's really difficult in a public setting to talk about personnel issues, but
in general terms, any safeguards?
That we have safeguards.
Yeah,
at
Jim,
TPFA,
that is a personnel issue. Yeah.
Pardon?
That is a personnel issue. Yeah.
I mean, we have safeguards at KPFA for all union employees where they are protected and there's a disciplinary process.
Okay, William.
Just for the record, for the question earlier around apprentices, Morning Show, Flashpoints, and even Democracy Now! All have graduate apprentices working for those programs. So I think it's a fallacy that people are running around and saying that we're isolated as graduates. And I've worked on a number of programs as a graduate, as like fill-in. My questions are about the following. One, I know that we're looking at starting up new transmitters in both the Sacramento area, which I think is finalized, and investigating in Santa Cruz, and I'm just curious where we're at on those issues, because a lot of listeners in those areas want to hear us, and we get calls about it all the time. Secondly, I know that we've lost Phil Osegueda as our development director, but he also acted as our assistant general manager, and I think that a huge concern that we have as staff is how that work is going to be delegated now that that particular position is vacant, assistant general manager. So what does that look like as far as the management team, especially now that we're losing another management unit person? And lastly, the issue around hourly employees and how there are a lot of folks who are in temporary positions, and it's unclear how many of those positions are actually budgeted as temporary, and how many departments are just requesting time cards. And it's just, we've been talking about how we're over on salaries in the hourly department.
Time.
Okay, so I'm just curious about those particular issues.
Okay.
Yeah, quickly, I know it's hard.
You probably won't get to all that in a minute, so whatever you can do best.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, please. Go ahead, Jim.
With the budget, we have tried to incorporate into the upcoming budget as much as possible to reflect hourly workers so that will be there, so it's not an unbudgeted expense. And I forgot the first part of your questions. Can you restate it quickly?
The transmitter.
Oh, okay. Translators in Sacramento and Santa Cruz are still in process. Waiting final FCC approval for Sacramento. That one's going to happen. Santa Cruz, not clear if that one will happen.
And the last was the assistant general manager.
Assistant general manager, what we have basically want to do in the upcoming budget is to adjust the business manager to be a full-time position, and that person will take on some of the responsibilities of an assistant manager.
Okay, Dave, you're the last person. I'm sorry, you were gone. You were out of the room. You missed your turn.
I was here the entire time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dave left the room earlier.
All right, Sam, you may speak. I did not see you there.
You finally got that good point. Nice job.
I'm sorry, Dave. I did do an injustice to Sam, so I'll let him speak.
Jim, I was interested in the archive. I'm impressed with the archive situation that you mentioned earlier, how it's recording all music and public affairs programming. Could you speak a little bit, in a minute, could you talk about what that looks like and, just as importantly, how much that is costing your station for that computer and the software that enables programs to be archived?
Yeah, it's basically... it's a system that's once, I'm not really sure of the cost, are you? It's basically bandwidth is what we're talking about, what we already have boosted our bandwidth so that we can accommodate it, so it's not really, at this point, a worry or concern because we haven't bumped up the traffic that high. But basically, our schedule appears on the website. You click on a program, you can call up the weeks of the program that's archived and click on that and listen to the program.
And so the software then automatically records that, and
yes.
There's not an hourly person or
no, it's set up by our webmistress who puts an automation system in that records at the beginning of programs and automatically creates the audio file.
Okay, Dave.
You referenced some of the web programs, maybe if they're good someday getting to the air, and that whole model of claimed space I think is a problem on the air, and I would love to see the idea of open shared space. Some people do brilliant programs sometimes and not all the time, and in fact doing something all the time tends to drain the brilliance of it. So it would be nice if there was some open space in which when somebody on the web does brilliant, it can be slotted in and organized in a way that makes sense for listening patterns, such as around subjects rather than around personalities. And I hope you can create some shared open space that stays open.
We've actually been trying to do that and create access points that way onto KPFA, identifying places on our schedule where we can bring in new series or talk to people about collaborating with people who might do similar shows.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jim.